friend of mine used to say, she used to say, that is somewhat pitiful. And it is somewhat pitiful that you think that you have to give God money, otherwise he won't bless you. And it always reminds me of these Eastern religion gods, or the Hindu gods, or if you go to India or you go to some of these countries where they have these temples and then they have statues in the temple. And when you go in there, you have to lay down flowers or candies or something. You have to bring something in there to appease the god. Otherwise, he'll get mad at you and he won't bless you. So why they've adopted this kind of thing in Christianity, I'll never know. I'll never understand it. Not in this life anyway, why people buy into it. But anyway, our guest is here. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Susan. Sorry for coming in a little late.
That's okay. Better late than never, right? I couldn't get my music to play either, but...
It's always something, isn't it?
Yeah, somebody doesn't like this program. I guess not. But when I was looking up these women, Marilyn Ferguson, Alice Bailey, and this Madame Blavatsky, they were of this globalist mindset, and it's kind of like what we're seeing today with the push toward globalism and the propaganda being sent forth by the news media. It's not an old thing. I mean, it's not a new thing.
Oh, no, it's very old. It's as old as the dollar bill. You know, seriously, when you look at the dollar bill and you see the all-seeing eye on the back with the, what is that,
yeah.
Novo Ordo, yeah, the New World Order in Latin,
yeah.
But I don't speak Latin. Yeah, so it was a concept from way back, and it's the basis of all the so-called mystical societies and world religions from way back. There's that old song from the 80s, "Everybody Wants to Rule the World."
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's really the New World Order is really a common New Age, you know, and again, we use that term because it can embrace, like, it can be like an umbrella name to, like, involve all of these people who want to rule the world. But they've been wanting to rule the world. In fact, a lot of these ancient so-called mystery religions, you know, go all the way back to Egypt, even, and Babylon, Egypt and Babylon. In fact, you know, it probably started in Babylon before it got over to Egypt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But there has to be this. And you know, here's the weird thing, because I don't think anyone in those, even in all of those weird ancient secret societies and religions, I don't think anyone could have predicted back then who were swallowing this stuff. Could they ever predict a day that that the idea that the earth has to join as one in order to ever be accepted into the Federation of Planets? You know, because today that is becoming one of those arguments for having the global one world order, because the Space Brothers are promoting it. The Space Brothers are just taking the script right out of Madame Blavatsky and Alice Bailey.
Yeah.
And they're teaching that religion. And so in the whole modern day Illuminati sort of circles, they are saying that the Space Brothers will not reveal themselves to us or even accept us as part of the universe, basically, until we are united as a planet. And then they'll reveal themselves to us. And then the Earthlings can then join with the rest of the universe.
Yeah, well, we know what that means. Sounds like Antichrist, but... I thought it was interesting when I was reading this kind of bio on the internet about Alice Bailey, and and how the book, The Secret, and the Law of Attraction, which kind of infiltrated the so-called church and continues to infiltrate. But also, it talks about the music and how some of the artists like Lou Reed and Todd Rundgren played a part in promoting this philosophy, but it wasn't only them. It was many people, especially in the 60s, I think, that started promoting this type of belief system. But what about...
Yeah, there's some really good stuff on YouTube about the infiltration of these kinds of ideas into the music industry, when you've got them making all of the occult symbols of the one eye, and, you know, people like Beyonce and, you know, Madonna and some of the more modern people using all of this symbolism that comes straight out of the occult into all of their music videos and into their songs. And I'm not an expert in that area, but I've seen some really interesting comparisons with these, you know, occultic religions and their use of symbolism, and how big that is in music, and also even in advertising, so in the media all the way across, because somehow the enlightened ones want to, you know, it's hard to even say if they knowingly want to try to connect with everybody by sending each other signals that they're part of that Illuminati view of, you know, of evolution and the idea of having this spiritual evolution, that at some point in time, mankind is going to take, you know, all mankind come together before we can reach the next evolutionary leap of mankind into the next, giant leap in evolution. So I know, you know, these things, I know these concepts are so crazy, but this is what the evolution and the theory of evolution comes into all of this. And this is the kind of thing that Blavatsky and them taught, was that we are evolving as a species. So Darwin got into all of this. There was a lot of like streams that came together, I guess is how you can say. And you know, and they complicate things. I mean, this stuff can, when you start reading it and looking into it and following all of these concepts, they really complicate things, and the more complicated it can be, the more the enlightened ones look wiser than the rest.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true, because I know for myself, before I got saved, and I was looking into different things, and they used to have this guy, Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. Remember that guy?
Oregon.
Yeah. So someone had sent me one of his books, but I was reading the book. I didn't understand what he was talking about, because they talk in circles. So then, of course, like you say, then you have to say, they have the knowledge, and maybe I can get that knowledge too. But you could never understand really what the knowledge was.
Yeah, and you had to get there through initiation, you see, so that you can, and even Freemasonry worked that way up. Because, you know, you first degree all the way to 32nd degree, you had to learn through initiation. And then the Mormon Church, picked that up, and they would have their initiations into their temple, and they'd use these same concepts. But again, these were Babylonian ideas of the initiates, and the higher up the pyramid that they go, the wiser, the more enlightened they become. When really it is the twisted reasonings of Lucifer. And again, they take a Luciferian oath at the top of that pyramid, at least in Freemasonry. And it's because the idea that they brought forth is that Lucifer is that shining star and he's the enlightened one, and that the Bible has just tried to discredit Lucifer when really he is, as the Bible even refers to him, as the God of this age, you know. So they're taking that as, you know, as literal, that and that concept even came into Mormonism, that each world has its own God. And so, so really, they were accepting that Lucifer is the God of this one. And, you know, then they have, oh, how Mormonism has on Kolob, that's where Elohim, you know, was the God up there. And kind of, it's really, when you think about it, it all comes back to this UFO thing. Even before they heard of UFOs or anything, there were ideas in all of these things that we were planted here by a more superior race out there somewhere.
Yeah.
That's called is it the Chariots of the Gods, or which is the one book that said that we were planted here by aliens and they're checking us out. You know, when we see UFOs, they're not connecting with us yet because we're not evolved enough. They're looking to see what we're up to see how evolved we're going to get before they can then get us to the next evolutionary step and then launch that new age, which is really a counterfeit of the coming millennial rule of Christ.
Yeah, well, it also sounds like the preparation for the Antichrist, because it's all leading up to that. And I saw a story today, even that in Sweden, they've already started to take the mark. They've already started implanting chips into people's hands so they can just pay for things easily. So they're saying that cash is almost extinct anyway there.
I saw that. I didn't read the article. I saw the headline. That in fact, the headline read that more people in Sweden are using the chip than hard money.
Yeah. So did we ever think we were going? We always heard about, they're going to take a chip and it's going to be implanted in their hand, and it's hard to believe that it's actually happening.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, we've been, those of us who have looked at Bible prophecy, as much as 30 years ago, we were thinking of the tattoos. And I remember Southwest Radio Church and, what was his name? Colin something. I forget his name, but he came out with a book about the barcodes on the, you know, the products at the store. And we all thought that, that was a precursor to the Mark of the Beast. And of course, even before that, people were thinking that the Social Security number was, and you know, I think all of these things might have been building blocks leading to an eventual cashless society. And so we were listening to prophecy teachers in the 70s and 80s that were talking about the coming cashless society. And that was, you know, pretty, and now we got bitcoins now that are all online money. And so these things may not be the mark of the beast yet, but every one of them was a step in that direction.
Yeah, well, it's a step in that direction. And also the fact that this lady, Alice Bailey, they start this publishing company. I remember seeing books with this beacon, the logo inside. Well, it looked like an interesting logo, but that was part of their publishing company. It was once called the Lucifer.
Yeah, and they called it, then they changed the name to Lucis Trust, I believe.
Yeah.
And so they were, you know, more out in the open until people started catching on, then they had to kind of cover it up. And all that did was make their secret knowledge more tempting to people to want to delve into. And then when you see the people who do get into it and who get into, like, the Jewish side of all of this is the Kabbalah. And people that start getting into those things, they start their lives. The ones we see in public, you can see their lives being destroyed. I posted something recently, which was pretty shocking, was of Roseanne Barr. Well, you know, Roseanne's whole life had kind of fallen apart because they kicked her out of her own TV show for daring to say something bad about a politician on the wrong side of the aisle. And so she showed the stuff that she'd collected. And I shared it. I don't know if you saw me sharing
it on
Facebook, where she has the most evil collection of false gods and things like that from all over the place. And yet her own personal life is things that she's been saying lately. Sounds like she is not even of a sound mind. And Jim Carrey, the actor Jim Carrey, the same thing. His mind is gone. And so when they start messing with this stuff, it really starts destroying themselves. And I think that's why you see such a high rate of these movie stars that get into this, a high rate of suicides and stuff.
Yeah.
Because the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And so these people's lives, when they start playing with these things that look like, ooh, you know, it looks exciting, it opens the door in their own lives for demonic deception to come in. And again, it is just part of the signs of the times that, you know, with these doctrines of devils, these are the doctrines of devils. There was this preacher I heard the other day who said, not eating meat is a doctrine of devils. You know, it's all the vegetarians' fault.
Yeah, it's always
at least they didn't blame it on Trump, right? But you know, people can get overboard. I mean, the reason this guy was complaining was he said, "Oh well, the UN wants to put this taxation on meat," and then he talks about the scriptures about you know the. You know, the ones who would deny eating certain meats and deny marriage, which really was a prophecy about the Roman Catholic Church, because it was a sin not to, you know, to eat meat on Fridays, and then their priests couldn't get married. That was totally a prophecy about that. But now this guy is seeing this as a prophecy about the United Nations Well, they're not telling anybody not to get married, and they're not telling anybody not to eat meat. But the reason that they want to put a surcharge on meat is because of the carbon monoxide or dioxide, one of those. I'm no science person, but because of the cows, because there's so many cows, and all of their passing of gas is destroying our oxygen level. I'm sorry, but you know, that's how crazy all of this gets.
Oh, dear. That is somewhat pitiful, I must say. But what about the article talking about meat? Bill Gates Richard Branson, who founded Virgin Airlines and Virgin Music, whatever. They're two very wealthy men that probably don't have anything else to do with their life. Like, could they find a good cause to spend their money on? No, they want now to give people meat that's made in a laboratory from cells of animals. This is the new meat product that they're investing their money in to pass off to unsuspecting human beings. It's bad enough that they're putting Roundup in everything. That my friend was telling me that the farms in one particular state, they're growing so much corn, they don't know what to do with it because of this Roundup corn that's not even fit to eat, really. In case people don't know, whenever they give you a genetically modified food or a seed, they implant weed killer into the seed. It's already in the seed, so you can't avoid eating it. You can't avoid it. And so they try to pass this off, which they've been very successful, even with not wanting to label food that contains genetically modified seeds and whatever. But now they're going to give us this meat that's been grown in a dish. Oh, it's
yeah,
can't
that's
even believe.
Sick. But doesn't that remind you of that move, that old movie with Charlton Heston, the Soylent Green?
I didn't see that movie.
Oh, you didn't see Soylent Green. Well, Soylent Green was when they fed everybody these little pellets of energy food and they claimed it was all made of seaweed and that, you know, people, you know, it was only the filthy rich could afford something, you know, that real food. And the masses could only eat these little pellet type of wafers.
Yeah, well, they're not going to eat that. Yeah, they're not going to eat that meat. You think they're going to eat it?
No.
Like you said, they're going to have the best food. No, that's for the
underclass. But in Soylent Green, the kicker at the end was finding out that Soylent Green was made from dead human bodies.
Yeah, well, it sounds like vaccinations.
Yeah, well, actually, it was euthanasia. Everybody had to be, I think when they hit 60 or some certain age, then everybody had to be eliminated, and then their bodies went into the Soylent Green machine to feed everybody else because of overpopulation.
Well,
that was the view back
then. Yeah. Well, Well, the thing is, I grew up up north, and they were always telling us that we were running out of space, that the world was becoming so overpopulated. Of course, this was in the 70s. And what did I know? I lived in a populated area, so I know there was wide open spaces. Then when I drove out to Colorado, I was amazed. There was wide open spaces all over the place.
Yes, that's true. And yet, you know, we could get onto another rabbit trail here with the Agenda 21 of the, you know, the UN wanting everybody to just leave all the open spaces open and not inhabit them and get everybody into the cities and not all spread out all over the place, and you know, in order to curtail the destruction of the planet by over construction or whatever. So a lot of some people are seeing, you know, possible conspiracy theories in some of these fires out west to try to keep people away from the forest and everything and push them back in. I don't know. You know, one of the things is I can see what you mentioned Marilyn Ferguson in your in the synopsis here. It's Marilyn Ferguson is now gone, but she was a she was like not really a social worker, but what did they call it? Anyway, she wrote this book called The Aquarian Conspiracy, and that was in the 70s, and it was read all throughout the elementary and school teachers and public school teachers had to all read this book because it was telling you how to program the kids with these kinds of new age ideas that you can get them right into the curriculum and everything. And so the whole idea, and it's still taught today, is if we can grab the youth, then that's the leaders of tomorrow. And unfortunately, it worked with the NEA, the National Education Association, where this stuff was being promoted. They had things like Project Self-Esteem and things like that to try to get kids under control by teaching them meditation techniques and things like that in the schoolroom, and to teach them, you know, the global idea of the planetary citizen. And so it was, and even back then they started knocking things like, which has really come to full circle now, with the idea that nationalism and patriotism is an evil. And this is the kind of thing that they were planning in the children, of making them global citizens in the global village. And this was very big in the 70s and really in the 80s. And so the young people now, you know, the ones in Antifa who are out there screaming and yelling and having hissy fits everywhere because they want globalism and they're against patriotism. And so there's this hatred of America. Even the stuff that came into the books in the 80s, history books, showing that the idea of the people in, you know, the pilgrims coming in and taking over the country, you know, pushing west, you know, in the 16, 1700s in America, they started making the Indians the good guys and all of the settlers the evil, bad ones. And so this is how they were taught. And so now, I don't know if you noticed yesterday, a lot of headlines of these young people now are protesting Thanksgiving because it personifies the white man taken over against the Indians. And this stuff is in the history books now. We're imperialists, you know. This was imperialism. And so imperialism became a dirty word. You can't expand, you know. And now all of a sudden everybody's an imperialist. And they want the whole world to be, you know, again, it was Hillary Clinton who wrote that book about the global village.
Oh, yeah.
And
take the village.
Yes. And I understand there were certain New Agers that would come into the White House when her husband was Jean Houston, I believe, is one of the names that came up, a New Ager who was friends with Hillary Clinton. So they were pushing the New World Order. The Bushes were pushing the New World Order.
Well, Al Gore, he was a friend of Marilyn Ferguson, apparently.
Yeah. See, they got in there with the movers and shakers, they did, in order to have an impact. And the impact was always America bad, UN good.
It goes along with the whole thing now with no borders and bringing tens of thousands of people to just crash the border, and we're going to come in whether you want us or not. And so they're starting to force this thing now. More so than
ever.
Yeah,
and you know what it is? It's the idea of the redistribution of wealth, because the Americans and the other imperialistic countries like England and everything, they were hogging all of the Earth's resources. And so the New Age and the, you know, the agenda of those like Blavatsky and those were saying that we had to share the whole planet's resources with one another, because why should just a handful and a small percentage of the planet get the bulk, you know, the 90% of all of the Earth's resources?
Yeah,
and
well,
so
maybe they worked for it. Maybe they worked for it. Maybe that's what
I know, but this socialistic
maybe
idea.
Maybe that's why they have money. They worked for it.
I know. Yes, but this is that you see now, capitalism is greed and the evil thing that the socialistic George Soros sort of ideas are trying to make, make this idea of private property a bad thing. I mean, just look at the lyrics
of
John Lennon.
Yeah, well, he's not giving up his. They won't give up theirs.
No, of course not. No. But, you know, their national anthem is Imagine by John Lennon.
Yeah.
You know. You know, that you and again, you think John Lennon was going to give up all his money?
No.
I think Sean and Yoko Ono are enjoying some of that. But, you know, imagine no religion, imagine no country, you know, and everything.
Yeah, well,
I could imagine it if
you could really imagine it, then I could really imagine it. But they want you to imagine it while they live in the land.
There you go. There you go, because they're the elite. You see, they're the Illuminati. They are the special ones, and they want everybody else to just, you know, I don't know. They do have their own little caste system, don't they? And why not?
Well,
when a lot of their
do.
Ideas come out of the Eastern religions.
Yeah, it does. It goes back. If you look at some of the bios of these women, Marilyn Ferguson, Alice Bailey, there was another one, Annie Besant, which I don't really know that much about, Blavatsky, and of course, what was her book, The Secret Doctrine.
Yes.
And like you were saying before about this whole thing of the self-esteem, and now you hear this so much in the churches too, where God has a plan, God has a future for you, oh, he's got this great plan for you, and you're a mover and a shaker, and you're going to shake nations. And it's so ridiculous because these people aren't even shaking nations that are saying it, and yet they want you to believe that, like, you're God's gift to the world. And
mm-hmm.
some people are having trouble just getting through the day, never mind being a mover and a shaker and shaking nations. And so it goes back to the whole thing about remembering who we are, where we were when Christ found us, and we're just dust. And the only mover and shaker and nation shaker is Jesus. And he gives us his word. He lets us preach it, as flawed as we are. But it's very destructive.
Well, so what do you think's going to happen with? I understand there's 9 or 10,000 Central Americans now down in Tijuana. Isn't it interesting though that they all want to come in through the Tijuana gate into San Diego? Because and you can blame all of that on Governor Jerry Brown, who made California a sanctuary state. You don't see them lining up to get into Brownsville, Texas, or even Arizona. They're all gathering right there in Tijuana so they could get into California, because then they have sanctuary. So Jerry, you can all thank Jerry Brown for what's going on right now.
Yeah, well, they're going to have sanctuary, but look at the pictures of San Francisco with the people sleeping on the street, the tent cities. They can't keep it together. And so this whole idea of letting all these thousands of people in, if these people get in, these tens of thousands, how many there are, who knows, then they'll be coming in by the hundreds of thousands.
Absolutely. I think that's what George Soros wants. That's what the UN 21 wants. The Agenda 21, they want us all to give up everything that we own to share with all of these less advanced, educated, less educated people.
Well, let them give up theirs first.
And so we will have all of Venezuela next. Don't you see that?
Yeah, well, we've already got most of Honduras. I don't know which country it is, Honduras or which country. We've got 2/3 or half of their people. So, the thing is, if they really were interested in doing good for people, they should go into these countries and teach these people how to be industrious, teach them how to be prosperous,
Absolutely.
Just like we did here. Go in there and train them to have their own industries, to have their own businesses, go in and build up their country. They're not interested really in helping these people. They're interested in this whole globalist agenda of tearing down borders, tearing down nationalism, patriotism, and bringing in this whole new world order. That's what it all is about. And they're not going to give up their mansions and their millions. I don't see them doing that. I don't see any of them doing projects where they're drilling wells and they're teaching people how to grow food and they're helping them with their small businesses, helping them build houses that they can actually live in. It's ridiculous. If you ever go to Mexico, you're driving along over there in Mexico and you see a nice house, then you see a lean-to, in the same neighborhood. Why can't they get it together? I don't understand it. I don't understand why.
And
they can get people, and so
that's why they go to the places where who have already accomplished that, since they can't accomplish that in their own nations. So they have to try to come and live off of those who have accomplished it. And that's okay with the globalists, because the globalists think, have this redistribution of the wealth concept that's been in there from the start. Except like you say, it's the really wealthy. They don't want the wealth of the really rich. They aren't going to get, but they can sure take down the middle class down a few notches, and as they come up one or two notches.
Well, that's it. Take down the middle class, and use the news media, use the propaganda machines, which they're being very successful with their propaganda, and the fake reporting. I was watching this documentary yesterday with Jane Fonda, and Ted Turner was in the picture late, as he is now. Well, they claim that he's coming down with dementia. And he didn't look so good. He didn't look so good. I actually felt really sorry for him. Anyway, she says that, well, she was living this whole lifestyle with her husband, that Tom Hayden, and she was doing her own cooking, and she didn't have a maid, and she didn't have a nanny. And I mean, she was gonna show her husband that she could do it. Well, yeah, she was doing it, but she also knew that she had a good stash of money somewhere. She wasn't going to give up Hollywood, and she wasn't going to give up capitalism.
No,
totally.
No.
No.
Yeah, because with any of these systems, there's always the Illuminati at the top. So those ones who are accepted into, you know, the ones who will go to have invitations to the Bilderberg meetings, or, you know, those, they're like considered above the rest because of their success. Even if they made their success because they knew how to sing, that doesn't mean they have any brains because they had a good.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know,
these
people.
So I'm a singer too. I can sing. I can write music. So what does that make me? And it doesn't make me, and I don't make an idol out of me, or don't make a god out of me. So what? I can sing, and I can write a song. You know, big deal. But that's the whole, the idolatry of the world. And like you said, just because they can sing doesn't mean they have a brain. Because you can see how a lot of these people, especially famous people, they're buying into this whole globalist idea, and the whole. But they're not. They're not giving up their capitalism. They're not giving up Hollywood. They're not giving up the music industry. They're not setting the example, but yet people are falling for it.
And Christians, like you were saying, then the Christian starts getting these same concepts and trying to put a different spin of theology on it, you know, because you've got the, you know, the Seven Mountain Mandate coming out of the likes of, you know, the late, C. Peter Wagner, and then Lance Wallnau, and he wrote a book called the Seven Mountain Mandate. They're saying, okay, just like the New Agers did, which, I mean, it came right out of the Aquarian conspiracy. In the Aquarian conspiracy, Marilyn Ferguson is telling the teachers, you all must be change agents. You need to teach these young people to have, you know, our whole agenda, and then get them to take over every area of society. And then, you know, some 30 years later, you know, such a smart guy comes up with the Seven Mountain Mandate, at, you know, when all he did was try to Christianize the Aquarian conspiracy, because that's exactly what the concept was. Be a change agent, get in there and influence everywhere. And if we got all our little people influencing this world, then we will be the ones to rule the global world. And this goes all the way to the Vatican, who has the belief that the entire planet is their kingdom. And so they all want the kingdom without the king. And this is so in other words, you can recognize those ideas when they are blatantly in the occult, but do you then see how they get whitewashed and brought into the church? Because that's where everybody ends up with, you know, the lowest common denominator, you know, of, you know, all Christians have to unify. So you have to have globalism within the church with the ecumenical movement. And then you have it in the world with, you know, with the global, and all of them are going to see eye to eye. And, you know, recently again, Macron, you know, the French guy, he's really into all of this. And then he meets with the Pope, and you know, so all of these guys are just loving this Pope, because this Pope shares that idea, but from a religious framework, and yet he still has the global view that we all have to be one, and all the religions have to be one, the same way that we're seeing in politics. They want the globalism and have a world government. And you're gonna, so you'll have a world government, and then you'll have a world religion, and the two of them walk hand in hand. And that's how, and we are getting so close to that. You can see that developing, but now we're there. Yeah.
Yeah, now we're there. That's the thing. They, you can kind of see the whole dividing line taking shape, and then more and more people want the government to take care of them. They want, for instance, they want health care. They want the government to pay for their health care. Why should the government pay for your own health care? And for the most part, people don't take care of their health. They don't eat right. They don't exercise. They don't do the right thing for their health. And then they want to go to the doctor. They want the doctor to fix it. Well, I don't really know too many things that they can cure. They can't even cure the common cold. So, and then so then everybody's going to be running to the doctor and using the government mandated health insurance, and so and then everybody else has to pay for your health insurance, and everybody else has to pay for your children.
This is all being reframed under the banner of human rights.
It's a right. It's a constitutional right. They're saying that the government should pay for your health care. It's a constitutional right.
Yes, that's
right.
What they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how could you be against the Constitution?
Yeah.
Well, this is a constitutional right.
Yeah, I didn't
You're
know
against
that.
The Constitution?
Yeah. It's a constitutional right. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know, it just gets crazier by the day. But it's the whole idea of communism, socialism. It doesn't work. It never worked. But yet they want you to believe that somehow, okay, United States of America, it's going to work here. Socialism will work here and communism will work here. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It takes away people's initiative of hard work and the satisfaction of earning your own living, taking care of your responsibilities. No, we don't want to be responsible now. We want the government to take care of everything. And then everybody else is going to pay for it. They come out with these things where, we're going to have free colleges and we're going to have free health care. We're going to have free. Nothing's free. Somebody has to pay for it. And I particularly don't want to pay for your health care and your children. And, you know, my mother and father didn't look to anybody to pay for their children and for their family. They went to work.
You know, but there's another twist in all this that we didn't see coming that we see today. And that is, you know, we talk, how about socialistic capitalism gone crazy? When you look at Facebook and Google and Amazon, and they want to have these monopolies and corner the market and make everybody dependent on them. And then they determine groupthink. They determine,
they determine what
the
can
right
be said.
Speech. Yes. Yeah. We didn't expect that to come out of the private arena. We could see that coming out of the religious side. We could see that coming out of the political side. But the private industry side, that's a total new dimension to all of this. And, you know, we're still trying to catch up with that and figure out, well, what's going on here? Now, you know, we thought it would be government suppressing free speech. No, it's a private industry. A capitalistic private industry is now being the suppressors of free speech. Where did that
come
from?
And they're doing it. And they're doing it.
Yeah. So
which
where
is shocking
does that fit into this whole thing?
Today, I know that they had been saying some of the people that have been banned, like Alex Jones, and I don't agree, and I'm not going to say I agree with everything Alex Jones says. They do have some good reporters, and they do have some good reports, but he shouldn't have been banned from the internet, and he has a right to free speech just like anybody else. But yet they're going to tell you what you can say and what you can think. And they were saying also that Google, they'll put you down in the rankings so that when people go to search, they won't find you like on page one, page two, where you should be. So today I was looking, sometimes I like to read this online news magazine called The Gateway Pundit. And I'm looking today, and so page one, there's no Gateway Pundit. You can't get to their website on page one of Google. It's all things against the Gateway Pundit, first page. It's a phony play.
Yeah.
It's phony. It's no good. It's fake news. And then on page two, you can click on to get to the Gateway Pundit. So that's one instance.
Yeah, they call that shadow banning.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I listened to a really kooky conservative guy on the radio. Well, and I subscribe to his YouTube channel, but I can't get him when I go to YouTube. And even though I've subscribed and I've even hit the bell, I am never notified of his program. It pops up sometimes when I go into, you know, the regular suggested sites. But anyway, it's the Michael Savage show. Okay, Michael Savage.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, he can be very radical, but he's very entertaining. But because he is so right wing, he is shadow banned off of YouTube. So you can still get him. He hasn't been totally banned the way InfoWars has, the way that Alex Jones has. But I cannot ever see his, when his show is uploaded, it never pops into my feed, even though I have the bell to even give me, it won't come into the ones that, you know, that you get the notices on, nor does it come into the whole feed itself. I have to go out of my way to look for him, for his show every day. And it still shows me. They didn't unsubscribe me. I'm still subscribed, but it never shows up. But it just won't show.
Yeah.
So this is capitalism run amok.
Well, yeah. Well, they've become so wealthy and so powerful, so they can dictate. They're going to dictate what you can see, what they want you to think. Well, we can see that it's happening. We see the. I noticed that you mentioned something. You know, going back to the New Age movement, and you mentioned something about Agnes Sanford. Remember the whole inner healing thing, and where that came from. So talk about that a little bit. I thought that was so interesting.
Well, yeah, because you know Agnes Sanford was a disciple of a guy named Morton Kelsey. And this is the another religious thread that came out of the mind sciences. And, you know, Ernest Holmes is the founder of the science of the mind. And so these ideas started there and then came into the church through, again, the inner healing movement was a big one. And it got really big in with the Vineyards and with John Wimber. And it comes back into that same stream that leads us today into IHOP and Mike Bickle and Bill Johnson and those guys, you know, that are following the C. Peter Wagner NAR group of people. Their ideas that came out of the occult that came directly in through Agnes Sanford, who would teach the really transcendental meditation type of thing by making, you know, pretty much getting into altered states of consciousness instead of having your own, you know, mantra or or whatever, you know, they would say, oh, well, get, you know, just say Jesus over and over and over and over again until you just, you know, can make your mind a blank.
Yeah.
And then they would use the concepts which really came into the school system through what the Aquarian conspiracy is the use of guided imagery and visualization to get into an altered state, kind of like a self-hypnosis kind of thing. And supposedly that was going to be your way of relaxing. In fact, one of the so-called Christian terms for it was the relaxation response, which was promoted by Robert Schuller. And so So all of these things came in with using the same yoga type of exercises and mind exercises and things like that with Christian terminology thrown into it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Agnes Sanford then, the one that became like her buddy was John Sanford. And John and Paula Sanford, who wrote The Transformation of the Inner Man. Does that sound like a name of a Christian book? The Transformation of the Inner Man was their book that John Wimber used as a textbook in his in his Signs and Wonders class and all of that.
Wow.
And so they had, I think, John and Paula. Paula is dead. John Sanford's an old man. He's got a son named Lauren who pastors a vineyard to this day. And they still, you know, still promote this stuff, but they got in with the NIR, with the prophets, and then John so John went from an inner healer into a prophet. He claims he is one of the top prophets, though he never prophesies anything worthwhile. And if he does predict anything, those things have failed all over the place.
Oh, he claims he's one of the top prophets.
Oh, yes. In fact, the name of their ministry is Elijah Task. Task is the name of their ministry. Because all these people, we've got so many competing Elijahs, because they'll...
Oh, yeah, in fact, I know. Everybody wants to be Elijah,
And then now they got the Elijah list, so all the Elijahs can be part of this. And so they call it... So now it's not that Elijah's going to come before the coming of the Lord, but the spirit of Elijah is going to be all over the place before the coming of the Lord. You see how it's twisted?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet in order to be able to prophesy, they're not waiting on the moving of the Spirit to prophesy. As I said this on my show last night, Wallace Hickey, who was Marilyn Hickey's husband, said that he made this statement that I can prophesy at the drop of the hat, and I could drop the hat myself.
Yeah.
You know, that's his way of saying that it's up to the prophet to pretty much order the Holy Spirit around and tell the Holy Spirit, you're welcome.
Yeah,
here.
I know.
I'm
we
sorry, but the Holy Spirit is welcome
Spirit,
anywhere.
You're welcome in this place. Like, he wasn't there in the first place. Like, you know.
Yeah. And who are you to tell him where to go? And what
I didn't know.
And aren't we, if we're spirit-filled, isn't he there?
Yeah, exactly. But we were always telling him what to do. We were always telling God what to do, shouting at him, telling him what to do, shouting our orders. But it's still so prevalent in so-called church circles. But there's such a dividing line because this whole New Age movement, the New Age ideas have permeated the church, or so-called church, as I like to say now, because it's not really the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ anymore, but it's become a conglomeration of basically greedy leaders who want you to submit to them or else, and leave your mind at the door, of course. Don't think about it, they tell you. Rod Parsley says that. Rodney Howard Brown, don't think about it. Don't try to figure it out in your head. Just do it. So that goes back to that whole New Age concept.
There was a book about learning how to do witchcraft called Drawing Down the Moon. I shouldn't have that thing up. So Drawing Down the Moon was the kind of a way of teaching witchcraft of how you can tap into, you want to tap into some power. And so there's different ways that they can tap into the power. Well, those kinds of ideas came into those meetings where you're talking about where you could tap into the spirit. So it used to be, you know, with the witches and with the occultism, they wanted to tap into this God power. And when you get these people who think they're little gods and who actually teach that they are little gods, then they're going to draw down the Holy Spirit. They'll even use terms like that, but that they're going to usher in His presence. How do they think they have the power through their own powers that they have to order the Holy Spirit around, to advertise that come to this meeting on such and such a date over at this place?
Yeah, God's gonna show up.
God's gonna show up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are occult ideas of finding ways to tap into these powers, and then you can spread them around through impartation one to another. This isn't the same thing as the laying on of hands, but as in the Bible way, but this is the occult counterfeit.
Yeah. Well, you see, you can turn on any television broadcast on a Sunday and see that all over the place. Oh, we can really sense the presence of God in this place. Yeah, well, I guess. Where did he go? I didn't know that God, either he's sovereign and he's all present and he's all knowing, or he isn't. So, like, what did he do? Leave the building until you started the worship songs and you started worshiping, and then all of a sudden God's presence fills the place. I can't believe the deception in the,
well,
in the so-called church today.
When some of the lyrics of some of these songs, and some of these aren't worship, this isn't worship, it's turned into, you know, bad entertainment and performances,
yeah.
You know, which is a whole nother topic, yeah.
Oh, dear, it's like, God, please help us. We've got so much work to do. I hope that in the future, what I would like to do is, like, set up a little studio, maybe in April or May, I'd like to set up a studio and prayerfully hope that we can expand the broadcast. Of course, being on your network and my broadcast, I've brought in a lot more listeners. And so I think that it's a plan anyway to try to expand.
Sounds like a good one.
Yeah, what we're doing, and make the program better, even get some newer equipment. And just try to plan for the long haul, because we still have so much work to do to try to preach sound doctrine. People, they want, I saw what you posted on Facebook about this church, this 100,000 seat church there in Nigeria. Like, why? And how these people, these basic con artist preachers, have taken over many of the countries, and it's so sad what's happening.
Yeah.
And but yet we have so much work to do, so we have to try to plan for the future and try to do what we can do while we have this opportunity. I thought it was interesting too that a few weeks ago, you know, talking about these new age occult influences with well-known people, that Paula White's husband, Jonathan Kane Friga, who's one of the piano player and keyboardist in Journey, and also claims to be a Christian, which I doubt. But anyway, the interviewer was asking him, what's your favorite book of all time? Okay, so any born-again Christian would usually say the Bible, right? What does he say? His favorite book of all time is, Lord help me. Oh, Eckhart Tolle.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's his favorite book of all. That book really helped him, he says. He says, well, being a Christian, I should say the Bible, but it was Eckhart Tolle that really helped me.
Yeah, which is an occultist.
Yeah.
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 That's
so.
Yeah.
It kind of fits in with that his whole conversion thing and being married to Paula White, who's a New Ager herself.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, it's getting harder and harder to just find like-minded Christians who believe the Bible. You know, because, you know, these people aren't the ones that are studying the Bible. I doubt if Paula White's husband ever opens up the Bible, you know. How about reading the Psalms? You know, you ever try that? You know, it's terrible because.
Well, who would ever make such a statement if you were really born again?
No one.
I would never refer back to anything that I knew from my past to say none of it helped me when I got born again, and the Bible helped me.
Who keeps popping up in certain Christians' idea of their favorite book? And I couldn't believe this because it was on a Christian site the other day. People were saying the name of their favorite book, and this was everybody's supposed to be evangelicals. Somebody wrote Cahil Gibran's The Prophet. Seriously, and others. Oh yeah, I've read that.
Yeah, well, that book never made any sense to me either.
It didn't. I read that before I was saved. Yes, I read that before I was saved.
Yeah, but it didn't make any sense.
And I thought it was senseless. Oh, yeah, it was stupid.
Yeah, it was. It was stupid. And I was like, why is everybody talking about this book? It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, at one time, it was the rage at one time.
Yeah, it was the rage, yeah.
It didn't even lead me towards a belief in God whatsoever when I read it, because I was kind of searching back then. This was in the 70s when I read that, and because my roommate had it. Oh, you got to. I had this one roommate. Oh, she says, oh, you just got to read this. This is the best. This is just wonderful. So I read it. No. Then my next roommate was a Mormon. Oh, read the Book of Mormon. You just got to read it all. You know, and so you had all these people just. And then I'd read these things and I just, ugh. And you know, I thought since I was raised Catholic that I didn't need to pick up the Bible, because I just figured I already knew everything that was in there, because, you know, I wasn't a Catholic all my life.
We never picked up the Bible when we were Catholics. Are you kidding me?
No.
The Bible.
We just figured what they were teaching us was biblical.
The catechism
so therefore,
was
who
our
needs
Bible.
To read the Bible?
That was our Bible.
That's right. That and the Missal.
Yeah.
Seriously, how crazy is that?
Whatever the priest said, that goes. Even if they were speaking in Latin or some foreign language, and we didn't understand a thing they were talking about.
No, but we could say the words. We could say "Ecum Spiritu Tuo" all over the place and not know what it meant.
Oh dear. I know. Talk about brainwashed sheep. But there's millions of them. I say, God, I don't know how we're ever going to penetrate the darkness. There's so much darkness out there, and people just believe anything. They'll believe anything, and then it's so hard to get them out of that. You know, they fight you, and they're fighting. I think it would be interesting to find out really how many conversions there really are anymore.
Oh gosh!
With all the propaganda that's out there, with all the false teaching that's out there. And I wonder how many conversions there really are.
How many people are actually born again?
Yeah. Because there has to be fruit. I'm not saying we're perfect, because we're not. We're all a bunch of flesh going somewhere to happen. We all have our human frailties, and we all miss it. That's for sure. But when it comes to one thing, when it comes to the Word of God, we have to stand on the Word of God, and we have to preach the truth of the Word of God. That matters. That matters. And it doesn't seem to matter so much anymore.
Not to most. And in fact, you know, I said this for many decades, that Christian television has given the wrong concept of what Christianity is into everybody's
really
living rooms. So people are, when they think of Christianity, they think of what they saw on television. And so, thinking people will look at that and say, yuck, you know, in other words, they're not lifting up Jesus, because Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw them into myself. Well, how are people being drawn to Jesus when he's not being lifted up? When the televangelists themselves are lifting themselves up, they're not lifting up the true representation of Jesus. They've got, you know, Jesus as a, you know, name it and claim it, you know, guru that will, you know, help you get what you want out of life, or and then they use the Bible as a book in order to, you know, learn how to act a certain way so they can get what they want and use the right words. And so it's
the right word.
Yeah, it's not even seen so much as God's revelation to man, is God's communication with us. It is more looked at some self-help book or something by a lot of people professing
like
to be Christian.
The ones that were written kind of give us a quick synopsis of your opinion of Blavatsky, Ferguson, and Bailey.
Well, again, those are big names in theosophy. Theosophy.
Yes, theosophy.
And
and
theosophy is just probably one of many that influenced everybody of the occultism, occult ideas that have trickled down through a lot of different secret societies and stuff, but then it became the theosophy religion, and which kind of there's been spin-offs like Mind Science and Church of Mind Science, Christian Science, but boy, how do you put theosophy in a nutshell? Because that's what they are following. You know, because we've been talking about a lot of their ideas, and truly that is the idea that I guess the creed of those of that theosophy is that God has had his enlightened ones forever, and that those enlightened ones have handed down secret information, occult ideas, all the way down, and only in the enlightened ones can receive it. And that if I mean, I can think of, you know, I don't know, you can get off another bunny trail about the idea that God has his choice people and nobody else can be enlightened. So the enlightened ones have passed down this information through the millennia all the way down, and that you can receive this information once you can get into these altered states of consciousness and have contact with the ascended masters, which is, you know, Alice Bailey had channeled and was getting information from the ascended masters. Yeah. And this is where there's a lot of similarities with the UFO, you know, close encounters and the people down getting these information from the Space Brothers, and Theosophy had, you know, it was, like I said, kind of like a UFO religion. They had the ascended masters that they could then get all download and write with automatic writing and get these ideas in, which just matched all the other Babylonian ideas of the occult. And so now, and this is where it comes into the church in an ugly way. They'd say, oh, we're going to download something from God.
We're going to download. Yeah, that's a big one now. Yeah.
Yes. And
oh,
so,
like,
and so you're
crazy.
Only,
oh, yes.
So you're, so it's not going to the Bible to get the revelation from God, but it's making contact and channeling the ascended masters. And this is where the idea of there's certain angels that come in too. So it's such a big hodgepodge of beliefs, but it is the occult and the belief that, you know, that we can get ourselves into the astral plane. Some of these more NAR people are saying that they go into the heavenly realm.
They'll enter the
heavenly realm, whereas the New Agers will say they're up there with the ascended masters in a different dimension. So those concepts have, like I said, been whitewashed, but that's the occult ideas of these women, of you know, Blavatsky and the rest of them, is getting their enlightenment through the ascended masters and through just, you know, having these ideas coming through them through automatic writing, and they're all
automatic
teaching the
writing.
Same thing.
They're all
and
saying
the
same,
same
thing.
Stuff.
Yeah,
yes, as do the Space Brothers say the same things. So that's the doctrines of demons. That's the secrets of Satan. You know, that the Bible talks about, and that's not what Christians should be opening their minds to. So
no, but it's also they're always saying, and God spoke to me audibly, or they go up to these, they were always traveling somewhere. So he's not talking like that now. He didn't all of a sudden change his personality, like these people say. And it's another Jesus, it's another gospel, and it goes back to these people, which they've been very successful in infiltrating, infiltrating their ideas. Of course, back in the 80s when we first got saved, there were so many people talking about it. Well, how the New Age is infiltrating the church, and it was all the rage. People talked about it, but it's really true. Their ideas have infiltrated, and they've done a very good job of steering people away from biblical beliefs into this whole centered, man-centered thing where it's all about you and it's all about your life and how you could be successful in life. Well, you can see, like, when I saw Ted Turner yesterday, I felt so sorry for him because he was an old man. He was overweight. He looked bloated. Apparently, he's supposed to be losing his mind. So what good did all that money do him? What good is it going to do him if he doesn't accept Jesus Christ before he dies? He's old now. And so it's going to happen to all of us. So all the money in the world isn't going to get you, buy you happiness. It's not going to buy you health. It's not going to buy you eternal life. That's a decision everybody has to make. Anyway, that's our program for today. I just hope that you can take all this information and stay close to Jesus, stay in his word, check everything out with the word of God, and you won't be deceived, because we have to more than ever really keep the word of God before us, and the things that we know are true, because there's so much deception out there, and it's easy for people to fall into it. If people are lonely, they want fellowship or whatever, and the most people want to be led anyway, so it's easy for people to fall into this. They want a quick way out of their problems. Well, sometimes there's not a quick way out. Sometimes you just have to endure to the end. But whatever you're going through today, just trust in Jesus that somehow, some way, he's going to bring you through. That's all we can do, you know. That's all we can do. So we're here on this earth. We're strangers and pilgrims here. And we have to try our best to do what we can to work while we can. And so anyway, that's our broadcast. Jackie, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it very much. I always like having you on, and I know that people enjoy it too.
Always my pleasure.
Yeah. And so where can people find you if they want to holler at you somewhere?
Well, probably the best place is to go to Facebook and look up my name, Jackie Alnor, or else look up Rapture Ready Radio on Facebook. And or you could also go to ChristianSentinel.com, and that's where a lot of my writings are. But I keep up with my Facebook page, and we have get into some good stuff there.
Yeah, that's good. So if you want to go and hang out there, if you want some fellowship. And don't forget Rapture Ready Radio, too. All right, Jackie, thank you so much. God bless you.
All right. God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that's our program for today. So be blessed today and hang in there. We're all going through stuff. We're all going through stuff. Just be praying for me. Pray for the ministry, because we do hope that we can expand in the months ahead and to put out some better programming, and that the Lord would give us some get new guests. I always love the guests that I have. I'm very thankful for the guests that do come on, but we'd like to bring some new programming in. And so if you have any ideas, any program ideas, just email me, susan@propheticnews.com. I'll look it over. I do answer my emails. And also, next year, I hope to update my book, take time out to update the book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? I think the content of the book, as far as we discuss people like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Paula White, Marilyn Hickey, Mike Murdoch, Steve Muncy, we go into a lot of their teachings, and I personally documented the photographs and did the reporting on Paula White. So I think I have about 30 or 40 pages on her in the book anyway. So it's all been documented. Everything in the book was documented. It was fact checked. And so we didn't say anything that wasn't documented, but I hope that next year, I'm going to take some time to update the book So I think the book is the type of book that the information will always be relevant. And so there was some good reporting in there, of course, that other people have done too, that have done the research into a lot of these so-called ministries, because a lot of people say, well, I have a ministry, and they get famous and they get a big name. And most people don't really dig into the doctrines that they teach, which I think is very, very important, is what do they really believe? And that's what we need to know. And even if they say they believe things, if their actions don't follow what they say they believe, then forget it. And number one is how they handle their money, how they handle taking up offerings, how they handle telling you about taking up offerings, what they tell you about offerings. When you give an offering, it's always because you're giving to help somebody else. It's not about you. It's not about you getting anything back. It's not about God jumping off his throne because he's so excited that you gave some money. It's about you blessing somebody else just for the mere fact that you love to bless people and you get a good feeling when you bless people. And so that's what giving is. It's about helping other people, being blessed by the fact that you can help somebody else. And whatever they tell you, forget it. You know that, well, you give this and you're going to get that. And it's not about that. We want to change the mindset of people, especially in that area, because I think that it's such an important area that if people can't control their greed and they can't control their lust and their love of money, then they can't control themselves at all. There's no control. And they wind up preaching another gospel. They wind up preaching another Jesus, and they wind up hurting people in the end. So that shouldn't be, if we're going to have a ministry, that shouldn't be what we want to do in ministries, hurt people. We want to be able to help people, and we can only help them with the word of God. So anyway, if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and as your Savior, you can give him your life today. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Romans 10:10 says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, repent of your sins, and ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So no matter who you are, where you are, God loves you. He loved you enough to send his son to die for you so you wouldn't have to die in your sins. And salvation is a free gift. It's a gift. And you can receive it. In Jesus' name. God bless you, everybody. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. City, and it's set on a hill. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Tomorrow at Old Navy, get women's pea coats for just $25. Plus, tomorrow only, use an Old Navy card and get 50% off gifts at oldnavy.com. Valid 11/25, select styles only. Card offer subject to credit approval. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
North Pole Hotline, Mrs. Claus here.
My family needs winter styles now. Can Santa come early?
Our workshop isn't open yet, but Old Navy is.
Old Navy?
Yup. Starting tomorrow in stores only, get 50% off all outerwear, all sweaters, and all jeans.
50% off all those styles?
Plus 40% off everything online at oldnavy.com.
What if we can't wait to wear it?
Buy online and pick up in store for free.
Who needs Santa? I've got Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
Holiday your heart out with 50% off all outerwear, sweaters, and jeans at Old Navy. Offers valid 11/24 and 11/25. Exclusions apply. See store for details.